Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, it's me, Ben.
And it's me, Abba. And you're listening to Nostalgic.
Our illustrious guest today, like, I'll say this, the listeners of this podcast should be so lucky, and they should be counting their blessings because this man in the world of queer comedy, but get this,
in the world of comedy in general,
comedy at large,
like, yeah,
producer extraordinaire, 420 festival.
We're talking Sketcherson's. I get to work with this angel every single week. It truly is a what? Blessing.
Sketcherson's lip synced a great show that I'll have when it's back. You got it.
Always sold out.
Always sold out. Mm-hmm. Always like sold out and always like better. Like it looks like it's like drag shows wish they were doing this.
Truly.
You know what I mean? Oh my God, I can't believe I said that. Oh my God. His jaw's on the floor.
For our stokers out there.
Extravaganza. That,
420 Comedy Festival. Oof. We truly stand. Indeed.
Puff, puff, pass.
Yes, last. Bitch. Pass the Dutchie upon the left hand. Sigh.
Eleganza, Extravaganza, a queer sketch comedy review that won the Canadian Comedy Award.
What?
He's an award winner, which
award winning. Oh, Sketcherson's is also award winning.
Sketcherson's
two times, Tom.
And am I forgetting? Out and funny, loud and proud, out and gay. Am I getting
proud
that
and
wrong?
Funny? Yes. Funny. Proud and funny.
And funny. I was gonna say we're funny that way, which is like a different queer. But
right,
you forget
by the blade of the
you know
pen,
what?
Man.
Redact, we're funny that way, because we're funny that way wishes they were loud enough.
Watch them come for us, Ben. You better shut them.
Just kidding. I was actually supposed to, like, headline one of those shows. Anyway, I love you. Get back to me next Pride.
That's funny.
I'll gladly do it. And I'll say this. She is a star on the rise. She's there, but just, I mean.
We continue to stand.
We continue to say it, and please welcome to your stupid effed up ears,
Tom Hearn.
Yay. Hi,
hey, Tom.
Honestly, the best thing to do is get locked in a quarantine for 35 days, be on an alcoholic bender, and like feel really depressed, and then go onto a podcast with your friends and get them to list your credits. And guess what? I feel bomb. Yeah.
Yes, bitch. Speaking of benders, Tom and I were on a video call for Sketcherson's, and he leaves the room for like 2 minutes, comes back with the biggest box of wine I have ever seen in my life, proceeds to pour himself a glass and get drunk. It was so beautiful.
I didn't know you guys could see. For some reason, I was like, oh, the camera's off. So they were reading sketches for Sketchersons. And I was like, oh, it's best time to open a box of wine in front of
just,
everyone.
Like, left right without now. Saying anything and opened a box of wine.
But that's very, I honestly, that's only royalty can do something like that.
Truly.
Royalty.
You know what? Your Instagram for, as you did this to me, is you baked something on your Instagram.
What'd you
but
make?
You know what you did? You made these like cute little tartlets, but that's not
what I remember.
It's actually not what I'm here to talk about.
Right. Oh?
Because I'm actually going to talk about when they were baking, you had a little break where you were smoking a J and you were smoking and doing a buggy. And you know what? I saw that snap, that Insta story. And right after I saw that, it made me want to roll a J.
Yeah.
And I want to say, your Instagram did not inspire me to bake. Inspire me to get baked, honey.
Yes, honestly, that's what I want my Instagram to be.
We stand peer pressure.
Not enough. There's also not enough gay stoner representation. Do you agree?
There's not. I think a lot of gay people are like, I don't smoke weed because it changes my energy as a human. I'm like, yeah. No, it doesn't. Relax.
No,
it makes you more fun.
I'm fully guilty of being that gay.
Changes my energy.
Fully. I'm literally the one who's like, I'll fall asleep and I need you to go.
No, I do fall asleep. Oh, but that is just me. Like,
but you're right.
Honestly, I love, weed is just very special to me. And I feel like for a lot of like queer femme people, it's kind of like, we feel like it's not, we can't make it gay. But you know what? 2020 is about gaying weed.
And you know
I was just gonna buy one of those like long sticks, so I could
I love that.
I love and those cigarette holders.
I'm happy that we're having this conversation about gay like weed representation, because somebody was talking about like where are the stoner girls? Like, where are the stoner girls at? It's always like cis straight white men who get to be stoners, and somebody mentioned Broad City. And yes. I was like, okay, true. But then they went on to be like, but they ruined it when they had Hillary Clinton on the show. And I was like, because they're like, it's now out of like this weed, like setting this, like these two dumbass girls. Now they're being a fucking politician who is
now they're with
extremely
her.
Important.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I'm interested in more queer representation of just like fuck shit gays who love to get high.
Yeah.
That's it.
I love that. Yeah. Yeah. It was funny because when I first started doing 420 Comedy Fest, Puff Mama, who runs the Underground, we did like, I did a queer show, obviously, for the festival. Mm-hmm. All my shows are queer shows, fuck off. But I did one that was exclusively queer, and it was like sold out and packed, and Puff Mama was like, man, queer people never come to the venue because like they don't like to smoke. And I was like,
well, that's not true.
Yeah.
What?
So,
you know what? A few years ago,
smoke in good company.
Thank you. I think that's a few years ago, tea. I saw that's a tweet that was like, weed is for the gays. Like, God created weed for gays. We'd be going through some shit and we need to relax, bitch. It
God
is for gays.
God did. He literally did.
It's for gay and black people. Mm-hmm.
He said, a man who lays with another man shall be stoned. And guess what?
Oh my God, Tom.
That's incredible.
I'm crying. And this is why. This is Abba why we
so
pay you the big bucks.
To sob
this is why we. This is church. Joel
Tom,
Osteen,
you took me to church.
I love that. Should we all get high?
I had to. We're all getting high. This is the Tom.
Well, I'm talking like I'm not already a little high.
Okay, like, you know what? I might eat an edible. I might do it.
Oh my gosh.
Did.
This is very much, I love it. This is a weed centric episode. It's well,
true.
Do you think Brittany smokes weed?
Absolutely. No. Oh, you don't?
No, I don't think she does.
Really? No, I want to hear. Why
no,
do you guys
she
think she doesn't?
She thinks it messes with her energy, hun.
Oh, you know what? She is that kind of girl. By the way, we talk about Britney Jean, okay? We talk about Britney Jean Spears.
Britney Jean Spears, a big sister to Jamie Lynn Spears.
Oh my God, I'm so happy we're talking about Britney. I don't think she smokes weed.
No.
I don't think she does. She definitely has before.
Mm. Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like with like totally. Back in the day, like when they were wearing those fucking denim get-ups, like absolutely they were smoking weed then.
They had to get high to put that on.
Totally. Yeah. They definitely did.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
I think she, because like when I think rich pop stars, I think they'd go by the way of pills. They kind of go in that direction of like, mm-hmm. if I want to like, they'll get some like rich person pill that kind of like makes yeah. them feel like relaxed. Mm-hmm. But I think I just can't picture Brittany. I mean, I can picture smoking a J, but I can't picture her sparking up like a pipe. Like I can't picture with a pipe. Yeah. And I can't picture ripping up like with a bong.
A bong, yeah.
No.
Listen, it's funny because like we all know Britney be doing some drugs, especially mm-hmm. back in like mm-hmm. the 2007 to 2009 mm-hmm. era. But we actually don't, like, there is no confirmation of, like, what it was. Like, there are rumors mm-hmm. that it was meth.
I feel like it was meth, yeah.
I think it was meth, too, because mm-hmm. that's why she shaved her head.
Yeah.
But it's, like, we don't know. Mm-hmm. So, like, she's kind of a dark horse. Like, what's
that's
her...
true.
Like, does she, like, black tar heroin? Like, we don't know.
Oh, my God, black tar.
Black tar heroin. Palm Hearn.
I found out what black tar heroin was because one time
you tried it.
I tried it. no, because a weed dealer like gave me weed. And mm-hmm. then also he was like, he was kind of friends with me at the time. So he was like, oh, there's also like hash. And no, he didn't tell me it was hash. He's like, there's like an extra treat in there. And it was like hash. Mm. But it was like I never talked about it. And it was like it felt like this, like it was like so hard.
It's like,
and it was like dark, and it's like it felt like sticky tack almost. And I was like, yeah. What is this? And then I googled, and then what Google was telling me was what I had in the palm of my hand was black tar heroin.
Why would so your like, weed dealer give you that? Was he trying to make more money? Was he hoping you'd try and ask for some more?
I think oh it was my just, God. Fun, but it was just but then it was just hash and it actually
Weed is a gateway drug. It's a gateway drug, so.
You okay, know. The fact that your hash looked like black tar heroin, though, is terrifying.
I don't like hash. Ugh.
It's weird. I tried
now Keith. I buy that black tar hash all the time. Wait, you don't like Keith?
I don't like Keith. Everyone was like, yo, it's going to get you ripped. Wow. You're gonna start fucking doing cargos. You're going to go a wop bop, blue, a tutti frutti. And I tried it, and no. I did not even sing a tune.
There was a girl like, who...
There's those dabs.
Yeah.
Oh, dabs. Stuff like that is extra. It actually needs to go away for me.
Yeah.
But like this girl I went to high school with, Kian, would roll blunts, and she'd make these iconic honey blunts that she'd sell. Ooh. And she'd coat in honey, and then she'd roll in Keith.
Yeah. Okay, that sounds good.
It was
that
like,
sounds good.
It was decadent.
Yeah.
That's like a special, that's like a Rihanna blunt. Like that's shit Rihanna smokes.
Totally.
Yeah.
We had those for like 420 Comedy Fest one year. They were like these huge joints rolled in
half,
and I gave them to all the comedians and they were all like, hey, after one hit, I'm like, get out of here.
All the gay comedians turned into straight men.
Yeah.
But Brittany, she does not smoke weed. I think we can confirm now.
You guys.
She paints. She dances in her Vegas compound where she's locked mm-hmm. away.
She is locked away like fucking Fiona in Shrek, man. Like she is up at that tower.
It's sad, but yeah. I want to say totally. That we've very much exemplified how messy this podcast is in that. Within the first 3 minutes of talking about the iconic pop icon, Britney Spears, our comrade in arms, we immediately went to what drugs she's doing. What the fuck? Like, it's so mean.
And Britney, we truly apologize. Like, it's yes. not, this has nothing to do with you. It's all about us.
We just like being messy.
We just like
listen,
being messy.
For me, it comes from a place of love. Like, I'm like, as long as her name
we're
is
concerned.
Out, we're still talking about her. Like,
true.
Like, Britney Spears is not, like, nostalgic for me. Like, Britney Spears is, like, every day. She is current. Like, I listen to her
totally.
Every day.
She's your I past, present, and future.
Oh, my God.
Yes, she is.
Britney is, she's, like, she truly has never, she really never went away. Ever.
I don't think so. She's ever. Still in the zeitgeist.
She's
I
never
think, yeah.
took a break.
Yeah, she hasn't taken a break, and I think even if she isn't releasing music, people are still talking about her. Like, no one's talking about Christina Aguilera the way they talk about Britney. No one talks about any pop girl from the 90s, early 2000s the way they still talk about Britney, because she set a precedent.
Absolutely not.
She really did.
She did.
She did that, yeah.
She did. Like, it's freaking, ugh, I love her so much. I can't even, like words fail when I go to speak about her.
Right.
But, yeah,
man. When did you first fall in love with Britney?
Yeah.
Like, what's the first Britney moment?
So there are two moments that stand out to me. One thing I will say is I never, like, I remember, okay, so let's go back to, like, 90, 99, 98, mm-hmm. like, during, you know, the first record.
Yeah.
During the first record, y'all.
Yeah.
And I wasn't a Britney stan yet. Mm. I liked Christina.
True.
Because I didn't like, because I liked the Backstreet Boys, and I didn't like NSYNC, and she was with Justin Timberlake. Yeah, so yeah, I was like, nah. Mm. So I didn't really get on the Britney wagon until Toxic came out.
Okay.
Okay.
Which is the third studio album, yes. And so I remember listening to that, and I had it burned onto a CD. Mm-hmm. And I remember listening to it on this boom box that I'd moved from room to room in my house. And I remember being in my sister's room. And this is also kind of where Lip Sync comes from, because we used to just have these concerts in my sister's room.
Yeah.
I remember Toxic coming on every time, and I'd push my sister to the ground. I'd be like, fine.
You messy bitch.
But then again, I didn't really really fall into Britney fandom until Blackout.
Okay. You know what? I think that's very interesting, because I same with me. When I was younger, I obviously loved Hit Me Baby One More Time. We loved all those tracks. But I didn't get into fully listening to a Britney album until her Blackout era, because we were always talking about her. She was all over MTV. We were obsessed. But also the tracks just seemed more juvenile, even though she was very much having a midlife crisis, but a quarter life crisis.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Blackout, Circus, and Femme Fatale.
Yes,
three of the best pop albums of all.
Circus is my Britney. That is Circus is absolutely 100% my Britney. Mm-hmm. And I truly remember choreographing these elaborate spectaculars in my head to that song. When I hear Circus on the radio, I was the ringmaster. Mm-hmm. I was on the tightrope. It was just it was truly that song, and still to this day is on playlists for parties.
Absolutely.
We'll never leave.
She's a playlist queen.
Whenever somebody says there's two types of people in this world, it takes everything.
There's only two types.
It takes everything in my body not to respond.
The ones that entertain and the ones that are
that's my tagline for my fucking life. No joke.
Well, gonna say that is that live literally is you.
If Britney's Spears was a housewife, that would be her tag.
Yes.
100%.
Yes. I truly, she was, that era was so big for her. I know she was going through a lot mentally and spiritually, truly. But I think that the stuff that she was putting out was really iconic. Even Break the Ice, it wasn't that big of a track, but whenever I heard it, something came over me. Let me break the ice. The music video where she was in anime.
And also that song makes me think of Radar as well, which she fucking loves. She loved that song so much that she put it on Blackout, and then she put it on Circus again.
I stand.
Oh my god.
It's on so both cute. Albums, and they're years apart.
It's when you retweet yourself.
Yes. She pinned it to her.
She pinned. That is so funny to me. That's
funny.
God.
I love it.
I think she's so funny.
I think I was so hard into Blackout, and the reason I was getting into it was because my friend Chelsea, who I talk about sometimes with you, Abba, at Skeptersons, she's my friend from home, who's I say this in the lovingest way possible, because it's also true about me, we're trash together, she is I am Slicky and she is Dina, that is the level of our friendship. And I remember us just fucking living for Blackout, getting ready for a high school dance, getting blackout drunk off of a pint of white rum in her parents' bathroom, where they had it was the main bathroom for the house, but it also had one of those sliding doors to go into her parents' house.
I'm dead.
To be we'd be fancy. So I remember us standing, drinking this alcohol in half an hour, because her dad was going to drive us to this dance. And listening to Blackout, and our favorite song on that is called, it's a Timbaland produced track, and it's called I Got a Plan, and then in brackets, Get Naked.
I Got a Plan, Get Naked. I love that. That's really fucking funny. Oh, okay, I'm sorry, hold on. I'll be right back. I have to grab something, you guys.
She's meeting her dealer. She's getting her black
truck. I would never.
She's meeting her dealer and getting her fried rice.
She's getting her fried rice.
No, I didn't even order it yet. I'm just gonna tell you, because you're my friends. I forgot my garbage outside. I didn't throw it away. Like, I took my kitchen garbage out into the hallway to throw it away, and then I didn't do it. And
is it stinking up your place?
Yeah, and I'm high, and it's making me nervous. Okay.
Well, go do that.
I BRB.
Okay, like, thank God. Thank God it's just us boys.
Just us boys who talk about her.
Three kings, after all. But Tom.
Yes.
I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. What is your favorite Britney red carpet look?
Oh my God.
And I know that's a big ask. And you can even do three, I don't care.
Okay, look, for some reason, the only thing that is standing out in my brain right now, and it's not even a look, it's just like it's a vibe on a red carpet. It's okay, yeah. Okay, so when she was like very recently before, like, you know all about the what was that podcast that like uncovered like the truth about like what's going on, like about her conservatorship or whatever.
But I have friends who have, and they've kind of plugged me in, and it is very scary.
So right before that happened, what was going on is she was revamping her Vegas show. Right. And it was supposed to come back, it's gonna be bigger and better than ever. And she was really excited about it. But she did this launch in Vegas, and the whole video is on YouTube, and everybody please go watch it. She gets out of the car and just walks from one side of a red carpet to the other and doesn't acknowledge anybody. She clearly does not want to be there. She is like, no, I cannot. Not today, ma'am. And like, it is like an iconic red carpet to see this insanely famous celebrity just be like, not today.
I need to see that video.
I think... She's in this, that's like, stunning. She's in this, like, I think it's like a hot pink moment. Anyways, but that's it's not really a look.
But here's the thing. As you're telling this story, like, I feel like I know the dress. Like, I know the dress.
Oh, it's because like, she wears the same, like, little.
She wears the same, like, little, cute little cocktail-y, like.
Yes.
Leg, arm, cleave. Like, very just, like, a cute little, like, like, a little.
Yes.
That's actually the fashion. That's the fashion word for it. Is that the little dress she wears? My favorite Britney. I mean, there's obviously the denim of it all.
Well, yes,
which is iconic. But I will say my favorite, and this isn't red carpet look, but her in Me Against the Music video.
Yes.
The look that she has where Madonna and her are having that psychosexual lesbian chase through that like maze, or like like that wooden creaky like mazy. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Her look in that, I remember being like, as like a little gay, was like Madonna influence.
Do you know what my favorite, if you're talking about Britney looks, my favorite Britney look is in the Toxic music video, wherever it's not her on the plane and she's just in that sheer like glittery like bodysuit. I'm always into a glittery bodysuit that just looks like it's nude, but that one in particular, I think it was my gay awakening. I remember watching that on YTV and being like, how is this allowed? And are you allowed to kiss girls? Like, I remember being like, wow, this is crazy.
Okay, remember, I mean, Avi, we remember when Madonna and Britney kissed. Yes. But
Beyonce. Did you see that
interview with Beyonce where they ask her about, like, her thoughts on it?
No. Oh my God, what'd you say?
And again, I think we talked about this before the pod, but, like, we are not calling, I would never call Beyonce
homophobic. I don't think she's homophobic.
But this is what Beyonce said. She was kind of like, oh, ew, I thought it was gross.
Or she's
She's kind of like, about it. And I don't think it's because it was like two women. I think she just genuinely was like appalled at like Madonna.
Yeah. Exactly. I was going to say that somebody would kiss Madonna. Yeah.
I know. I think that's kind of, that makes sense to me. But like, it's still so funny that it's like,
that's Beyonce, so funny.
Kind of like, oh,
like, ew, no. Like, no.
I did not. I That's did really not funny. Care for it. And I felt like, it was fun. She's like, no, it was
no.
Beyonce wasn't being homophobic. She was over gay baiting. She's an ally.
She's an ally.
Sure. She's like, even back then.
Even back then.
She's always right.
Even back in the day. I felt bad for Christina in that kiss.
Because she didn't get a kiss. No, she didn't get a kiss, did she?
No one cared about it.
She did, but nobody gave
No one cared about it. Oh.
Like the way that it was like handled in like newspapers, like even years later when they were like talking about how there was no, it was like all Britney and Madonna and not Christina. They were like, well, she was already a slut.
Well, I think it's because, like, I've said this before about the two of them. It's, like, the media kind of portrays them as, Like when it comes to Britney Spears, the media portrays her as this good girl who's like going bad versus Christina is a bad girl trying to be good all the time. So it's like,
yeah. And I wonder how much of that is just like also her being half Latina, like being like, well, you know, she's running kind of spicy. Like, I feel like the media, she's always had to play like both sides of it, where she's like, yes, I'm Latinx. No, I'm not the stereotype you think I am. Yes, I'm portraying myself as white. Yes, it's because of my my music label.
It's also like, oh my God, she was being pulled in so many different directions.
Truly a wild, wild part of
her career. Like why Christina kind of got lost in that shuffle is because like, when we think about like, it's like Britney has such a defined aesthetic. And it's like, but I feel like Christina's was like, her team was like taking from all of them.
It was kind weird.
And it was like,
I don't know what, if somebody was like, tell me Britney Spears' style, like give me like a red carpet, a performance and a music video look, I could tell you exactly what it would look like.
Exactly.
Same with Beyonce. And then it's like, if somebody said for me to do that for Christina Aguilera, I'd be like, in what year?
Because, like,
It's just different from year to year to year.
She keeps having a rebrand and it's inconsistent and it makes people annoyed because they don't know what to expect. She caught backlash for when she copied Gaga, but then she also caught backlash recently because her, not recently, but her comeback before last, like in 2010, 2011, she was not, I don't know what she was doing. She was doing like this dirty Kesha, I'm a Trailer Park Girl vibe. And it was not, she thought, I think her team really fucks her over constantly. They saw that that was going off with the other white girls and they're like, let's do it for you too.
Well,
and
that's the thing.
Didn't pop off.
Her team just keeps being like, keeps getting better
but it doesn't.
It's not.
Oh my God.
I like her recent rebrand where she's just doing this, like, she just has an Instagram face. She just looks like an Insta girl.
Remember when Kelly Clarkson. When Christina was on paper, like, was it like a year ago now? But Christina was on the cover of Paper Magazine and like, she literally looks like a woman that none of us had ever seen before.
Yeah,
like, that
she looks
is how
completely
I think of Christina,
different.
Like, she's so funny to me. But Britney truly has looked the same always. Like, she still has the same blonde hair extensions from, like,
they're the same ones, sis. She did not change them.
No, she never does. Oh my
God. I'm so, okay, we need to talk because Britney, I know Britney keeps black women in her circle. I know she keeps black gay people in her circle. She has to. So why is it that these motherfucking extensions, every single year of her life, I can see where her bob hair ends and where the extension starts. Why?
And you see, you see the glue.
You see the glue, and you see the tracks.
I think, like, because all back in when Paris had the extension.
The clipping goes.
Everybody had those extensions. And I feel like maybe it's like a conscious decision of, like, people like this, Britney.
Yeah.
And they like it for you, and it stays.
Interesting.
You know what I mean? Like, if she had like a sensible, healthy like lob, like a long collar length bob, I feel like we'd all be like,
you'd be like, she's a mom.
She's a mom.
She had for X Factor. That was her judge look.
Yeah, it was like to hear.
Oh my God, Aiden, you're absolutely right. And I remember even being like, this is Britney grown up.
This is a
she's sitting next to Demi Lovato and Demi Lovato. Like,
oh my God, you want to know something?
What?
Demi in another world, like, I think there are many kind of parallels between Demi and Britney.
And Britney, it's
100%.
True. I agree.
There are so many.
Demi was on Barney and Friends.
Yeah,
Britney was on Mickey Mouse Club. Like, the drugs, the punching of their brother.
That was what? I'll say this. Lovato is kind of. Poot Lovato had the same cultural impact as shaved head Britney.
Oh my God.
Poot Lovato rocked the gay community. We would have never gotten Deleted Fat if it were not for
Poot Lovato.
Poot Lovato really, yeah.
That's
Poot Lovato is so foundational.
We talked about it before, but it's just like, it's like Demi really could have gotten behind Poot in a way that would make her seem cool. She could have leaned into Poot.
Demi Lovato can't lean into anything that makes her cool.
She's so serious all the time. Remember the one she did that song about bullying? at the award show. It's like all these different clips of people being bullied, and then she gets up in the audience and she's like, it is not okay to bully, and it needs to stop now. It and looks so bad.
My favorite thing she's ever done is like that reporter being like, and what's your favorite dish? And she's like, probably a cup. I'm like, oh my God.
Like, we all went wah, wah, wah together. Like, it was
I surprised you didn't say a hot spoon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Black tar.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. This is a very heroin heavy episode.
Yes.
My favorite Demi Lovato story, and I can't believe we're talking about Demi Lovato right now, but when it was Joe Jonas in an interview, like a couple years ago, was talking about his like past with like drugs, and he said, yeah, like, I smoked weed with Demi Lovato the first time, and she like pressured me into smoking weed for the first time. So I'm just picturing like Demi Lovato with some purple clips in. Just be like, no, you have to try it, Joe.
Can I just say, it was Joe Jonas that said this, or Nick Jonas?
I think it was Joe.
Joe, because I was going to say, if it's Nick, is always doing this dumb thing where he'll be like, I did something so bad, and then he'll say what it was, and it's not bad. It's because he's a Virgo. He doesn't understand what bad is.
Right.
When he sings about his diabetes, I saw him live in concert, and this is how he introduced his song A Little Bit Longer, which is famously about his type 2 diabetes, which is not serious at all. He goes, when the doctor said I had diabetes, the first thing I asked him was, am I going to die? And then he started playing the song. I was like, you just have to take care of yourself and watch what you eat. Like, what are you talking about?
You want to know something crazy about Nick Jonas? And this is weed related.
Yes.
So what, on like one late night talk show, and this was recently, Nick Jonas has this story about how the day before a red carpet or like an award show, he had a weed lollipop. Like the day before, the night before. And he said, because of that, he had a boner that he couldn't get rid of on the red carpet. Isn't that shocking? Have you ever heard
I don't want to hear anymore. I took my headphones out.
We're all blessed. We're all blessed with that opportunity if we had been there.
I want to say that is very much Virgo getting high, though. Just getting high, being like, oh, God, I'm going to be high for the next week after one toke.
Yeah, it's so funny to me. Or people are like, oh, I smoked last night, so I'm a bit out of it. It's like, grow up.
That's me. Yeah. Like, my head hurts. I smoked last night.
Well, a very dear friend of ours, Abba, that I won't out on this podcast, but one time I was doing this show and they, by mistake, ate a weed cookie. Because it was just one single cookie in the freezer while they were like house sitting. And they were like, you know what? Like, I'll eat this cookie. And they ate it. And then they had to come and do the show.
Yeah.
Poor kids.
Yeah.
High as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're already so zany. They're already so crazy.
And
dying to know who this is.
We'll tell you after.
They literally edited their own scene. They were like, that's enough.
I didn't know this part.
We were also doing like a song, I was running the game, so it's like, they say a line and then I say, sing it, and then they sing a song. Anyways, I'm like standing there like waiting for a line, and like they say a line and then they look at me and I'm like, what? And then they just go, sing it.
Oh my God, Tom, this is insane. This is all new information, and it makes the story even more beautiful.
So good.
Were house sitting for another famous comedian, right?
Yeah.
A famous comedian who we just finished talking about. Oh, well.
Oh, shut up.
We'll explain the story after. We'll talk the story after.
I love this.
Oh my God, I love, you know what I love? You know what I love?
Okay. What do you love, Ben?
I love this because I hope people are listening being like, what a fun, like, what a fun world they live in.
What a fun, what a fun
world they live in.
No, truly. Oh my God, that is so funny to me. Because here's the thing about edibles for me. It's like, I love sort of people like, I ate it and didn't know. Where it's like, I'm such like a weed fiend that like my nose would sniff that shit out and I'd be like,
That's for me. You know who looked like they ate an edible and went on stage? Britney Spears in her 2007 VMA performance.
We need to talk about that outfit that she wore. We need to talk about that outfit that she wore. Because I know homegirl was going through it, but was her designer going through it? Man, what the fuck did they put her in? Like,
wait, what was it again? I need to...
A bra and panties.
A bra and panties. Why did they do that to her?
I think she forgot to put her costume on. It's probably so. More what happened.
Tom, this makes so much sense.
Have you seen God, that? Yeah, this was truly just a bra and a panty.
You're and right, Tom.
She kept doing this.
That's true. She did keep doing
I will say there's
a wig. When it's a wig, you can't just, you have to.
Yeah. That was right after the shave. Oh my God. She was yeah. going, she shouldn't have been able to do that performance. And if you go back and watch on YouTube, there is like the mic check mm-hmm. version. And she's literally, she's wearing bell bottom jeans yeah. with a brown belt and like a white tank top and sunglasses that are like as big as her face and then a huge sun hat. And she's just like walking around being like, you're looking for trouble.
Well, you hear that oh my God. A sun hat
inside.
Okay.
And the producers were all pissed because they were like, because they film those pre-show the mic tests in case they have to throw to like, throw to this footage in case something happens.
Yeah.
But they couldn't because she was wearing a fucking like tank top and sun hat inside.
Oh my God, Brittany. Aww. Oh my. Okay, she shouldn't have been able to. And it really makes me even, it makes me even angrier at the people who were supposed to be taking care of her because she mm-hmm. was under, she's still under like that, what's it called, conservatism?
She, I think at that point, wasn't under her conservatorship quite yet. It was just like going down that path because she was still going through legal stuff about like getting the boys pictures of her dairy up in magazines. Do you want a piece of me?
Damn, that's really unfortunate that no one was like, okay, this is a person I work with or for, they can't do this show, we'll pay whatever fine we have to pay.
Yeah.
Because that's not okay. It really like, did. It defined literally the rest of her career. Like, we're still talking about it. Yeah.
Like Rihanna was sitting in the audience. You're telling me that she couldn't come up and do Shut Up or
Drive? Listen, and Rihanna didn't. Because when Rihanna watches a girl perform that she doesn't like, Rihanna will laugh. She's done it to Ariana Grande.
She laughed about the whole thing.
But if you watch the first clip of her, she's kind of like shocked. Like, she's like,
well, do you
she feels bad. Like, oh.
Do you remember watching it for the first time? I watched it live, and I remember watching it live. Being like, what's happening?
I was really disappointed. I remember being like a kid and that being the first time I'd ever seen somebody that way in a live setting, not just like pre-recorded or whatever. Like,
and like, let's not forget that I'm pretty sure the last time she had performed on the VMAs was I'm a Slave for You, like with the snake and the tigers. Mm-hmm. So like,
People were expecting a show.
Yeah. They were expecting her to come out and then that happened and it was like,
They made her do a comeback way too soon. Like that was all so weird. It wasn't even a comeback. Well, it was just like.
The problem is that Blackout, like when they released that album and like she obviously had like stuff that she had to do with that album. Mm-hmm. That is exactly when her crisis started happening with her kids and everything started happening during that moment. So she had to be out in public to promote this album. So her comeback album to me was Circus.
Circus.
To me, the whole Blackout era, like including the album and any performances or anything that we see, like that was all during like the dark times.
That's true. And those were the times that she was like performing in like bars to like 15 people. Do you guys remember that?
Just something to do.
TMZ or somebody broke the story. They're like, everyone was shocked, being like, can you believe that Britney's performing at these like small venues to like people who are essentially just laughing at her? It was really unfortunate. That was such a weird time.
It's also like, I feel like her more so than like any pop star was like the, like she was like the cow that were like cattle prodding. We're like we're sticking in her the most. Like I feel like she more so than anyone was like, we wanted her to like stay in the culture just so we could be like, get a load of that messy
mouth. Yeah,
the paparazzi around her. If you go and like watch on YouTube, like there are videos of her, like one of the saddest videos I think of her is like she's running through like a Shoppers Drug Mart, but in the States, like a CVS, I guess. So she's like running through.
It's a Shoppers.
She's running through a Shoppers Drug Mart. And these paparazzi are like chasing her through the store. And like, she like grabs like a guy who works there and she's like, come on, come with me. And they like go into the back and like, she's like asking him to come with her in like her car. And these paparazzi are following her through the store. And then she like gets her car And then she immediately gets out and she's like, give it back. And they're like, what? She's like, my memory card from my digital camera, which is so 2008.
That's so 2008.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God.
She dropped the memory card out of her camera and she was like, these paparazzi stole it. And so she was like, give it back, give it back. And they're like, no, we don't have it. And like, they went like through the store with her to help her find it. And then like, some guy was like, here it is, Brett, here it is. And she was like, thank you. And like, kissed him on the cheek and like, was like almost in tears. Cause imagine what was on that digital
camera.
Oh
my God. Yeah, you're right. Oh, you're right. God, you're right. I feel
so sad for
That's
her
disgusting. Right, that is so disgusting. I think there's this really weird paparazzi culture that I don't know if it's still going on like that. Did it end with Britney's era?
Do you know? Because I would say the Kardashians probably get it the same, but
the Kardashians have a different version of the paparazzi now, because yeah. Remember when they were like causing car accidents to get pictures?
Yes.
Mm, and it's they, true. Like, the paparazzi, you're right. And the paparazzi, they're a lot more organized. And it's also because they're being called. They know they're going to get their shot. Yeah. But I think that era was very much like women. I remember it happened to Kristen Stewart. It happened to, what's her name? Paris Hilton's best friend, the Richie girl. Nicole Richie.
Nicole Richie.
Nicole Richie.
I love Nicole Richie.
I love her too. It happened to all of them where literally their lives were endangered. Lindsay Lohan, her life was endangered because of paparazzi. I might be over it.
Let's not forget Princess Diana.
Yeah.
That was her mother-in-law.
Nobody wanted a picture of her.
That was a queen. Killed her.
Do we really think?
Yes.
Yeah.
I love this. Oh my God. Okay. No, me too. I believe.
Because she was going off. She's like, I'm done. Like,
she went to Africa and she was like, how dare you?
Yeah.
Like, literally.
During AIDS? No, truth. Yeah. She was like, this is all making sense to me.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
She was dating a man of color. Like, she was.
Yes.
Yeah. She was.
Oh my God. Wait.
French, Algerian, or yeah, he was.
Oh my God. But also the paparazzi in Europe like are still allowed to be like kind of freaky. I think.
Really.
Like in London, paparazzi are like. That's why Meghan Markle she fled.
You're right. Okay, this is so stupid. Do you guys remember? Fuck, the girl from Gossip Girl, the really edgy one that had like the silver blonde hair. Pretty Reckless. Do you remember that band? Reckless. But also, do you remember her entire Nike ad of her running away from the paparazzi?
What?
Do you remember that ad?
That's so funny.
The most iconic and the most influential ad I've ever seen, because
it's like her doing parkour, right?
Parkour. It's her doing parkour running away from the paparazzi.
I didn't know that was
Britney,
a Nike
why
ad.
Not do parkour? I don't know if it was, I don't think it was Nike ad, you're right. But it was like, she was advertising something. I don't think it was just random. Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, wait, I have to take it back to Britney for a second, because I have to say something, or I would have been like, all this is for nothing. You know what I mean? We all dropped the ball really bad on Britney's last album.
Can I say something?
Oh.
What was her last album?
It's called
Glory. Is it really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, it's called Glory.
Glory. I remember it being announced.
What's the best song on the album that we must listen to?
The best song on the album is called Do You Want to Come Over. It wasn't released as a single at all. It should have been the lead single off of the album. All of the things that they picked for singles, the Make Me Ooh, that's the worst song on the album. And that Slumber Party one's okay.
With Tinashe?
It should have been
Tinashe.
Do You Want to Come Over and Just Love Me, and they should have gotten Justin Bieber to feature on Just Love Me.
Oh my
you know
God.
What?
Do you
want to
come
Can
over?
Can you please be her manager? Like, this is.
By the way, Just Love Me, love is spelled L-U-V.
Yes, it is.
I also want to mention, I saw a very funny thread last night on Twitter that was just going through pop stars' messiest and stupidest moments, both live and like wherever. And it obviously had the classics, like it had all of the Fergie moments, all of the Nicole Scherzinger versus the black girl in the Pussycat Dolls. Truly so funny. Like, do you remember that? That was hilarious.
Oh my God.
Wait, what happened?
The black girl in the Pussycat Dolls? I don't know. her name, but Melody came out of the so basically what had happened was they locked the girl in the closet before the performance because she can't sing and she's okay at dancing. So Nicole's doing her performance, the rest of the girls are with her, sashaying, doing truly Lord knows what. The Melanie, whatever her name is, she comes out, she breaks out of the closet, comes on stage wailing. She's like, hey, yeah, loosen up, AMAs, can you hear me? And Nicole's trying to, like, block it by, like, rifting, but she's getting angry, so her rifting starts to sound like screaming, and it's just a screaming match. And they, like, stand in front of each other, and they're, like, stomping in front of each other. It's so funny.
Listen, Nicole Scherzinger.
But did they lock her in the closet for real?
That's what I heard, that they locked her in the closet. But I'm trying to find the thread. I can't find it. But it had a moment. It had a track from Britney's album. I'm upset because when I saw Britney's face, I thought it was going to be a live moment. It was a track from her album that they were saying was messy and bad. And it was the track from the Britney Jean album, the one that she did with Jamie Lynn Spears.
Oh, Killing With You?
Tom, when I heard it, I don't even know how to describe the feeling, the things my body went through. I wanted to barf. I wanted to shit. I wanted to cry.
That song is, back to my trash friend, Chelsea. Mm-hmm. That's our song together. Because the lyrics are wild. So a thing to think about with the Britney Jean album is that's the first album that Britney has co-written every single song on the album.
Jesus. Whoa. Insane.
So she went from never writing, other than the only other song that I think she wrote in her whole career is what is it? It's on the piano. Lucky.
She's so lucky. Yeah.
And here's the thing. That song is actually so, so sad.
It is.
It's very sad.
Doesn't she die in the end?
And the fact that she wrote that, that's the one song she wrote, is so heartbreaking.
That's really fucked up. Yeah.
She wrote the piano riff in it. Like, there's a video of her, like, playing it and being like, it started with me, like, with this. But Killing With You is wild. Like, the lyrics are like, I laugh so much that I smile. I drank some red wine and I'm walking on the sky. Jamie answers back in her verse. She's like, I drank some white wine and I'm walking in the sky. Wild.
Chilling With You. It's so bad. Chilling with you. And then, you know what makes it even worse? As if the lyrics were bad enough, this entire song is, I don't know how you would describe it, but like house trap country.
Yes.
Really bad. Just like Florida Georgia line meets a literal line of coke meets.
Yes.
Like bad.
Yeah, that's a really bad song.
I
always forget that she is like a Southern Belle.
She is
a Southern lady.
She's a Louisiana woman of leisure.
Oh my God.
Jamie Lynn, she still lives in Louisiana.
Oh.
Jamie Lynn.
This reminds me of the story you told about the stroller. Was it you who told that story?
Yeah, it was me. Did you see this?
Aiden.
The other day,
it's so funny.
Because she always deletes stuff. But so the other day, she posted, it's still the last thing.
Yes.
She posted it, like one of these like quotes that she always does about like miracles.
Yeah.
And she captioned it, I've had moments in my life where I've questioned God big time. Like, how the heck did that happen? But I believe if we tell our stories of miracles, one day we as a people will start believing. Two heart emojis. I have one miracle I'd like to share today. It happened when I lived in New York at age 8. We were so poor, our bed literally came out of the wall, and hallways were as long as your arm, but we were happy somehow. Well, anyways, one day we went on the subway with my sister, who was 2, and she was in a stroller, and there was a very strange-looking man standing beside my mom. I stood right next to her, holding her arm so tight because I was afraid. Well, my mom pushed the stroller forward, and when the subway doors opened, the wheel got caught between the cement and the subway car. We all froze. I started to cry as my mom was tugging the stroller, trying to get the wheel out, but she couldn't do it. And we started to try and take my sister out of the stroller, but she was buckled in tight. All of a sudden, that man that looked so scary came over and picked the whole thing up and put my sister down safely within 2 seconds. We looked up and he was gone. He disappeared. I believe that he was an angel in disguise, a true miracle.
And then
underneath, Jamie Lynn Spears commented, what?
That's the best part of the story. Just Jamie, like, what?
That's so funny. That sounds like a Three Stooges sketch.
Right? Also, like, wouldn't the door just close on the stroller and then open and then close and then eventually somebody would say something?
Well, ABBA, they were in New York City.
They're in New York City. It's a scary place, ABBA.
Which is funny to me.
That truly makes me wonder.
Did you live in New York?
I think they, because here's my understanding of how Britney Spears came to be, is like they would like go to New York and LA for like to like audition or to shoot stuff or to try
to like pilot season, just living there for pilot season. Yeah,
right. Because then that's because then like Justin Timberlake or like Ryan Gosling like lived in Justin Timberlake's house when they did Mickey Mouse Club. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah, it's they were all like, living together.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
weird. It's weird, and you know what? It's actually kind of like. It's actually like no wonder these people grow up to be to be kind of who they are. It's like you have such this like you don't have like a home base or like any sort of like foundation.
And you're so young, you really need routine. And my friend, her brother went to school with Ryan Gosling, and she said that when he lived like when he went to the same school as them, he was chill and cool. But then obviously he was going back and forth. Doing projects, and then one day he was gone for an extended 1 year. He was gone for an extended amount of time. Came back and was a huge fucking asshole. Like completely different person.
Totally.
She's like, my brother and him had a fight. They'll never like obviously they'll never talk again. But it changes your mind and your personality so much. Like,
can I ask something? Your friend who is friends with Ryan Gosling.
My friend Carmen.
Did they see his D?
they were children, so honestly, maybe.
Oh, okay. I was picturing more like maybe like
high school era.
Yeah, that's children. But like, no, they're like 14, 15.
Stop trying to cancel me, ABBA. I refuse to be canceled on this episode.
Love you. I love you.
No, ABBA. I love you. but truly, like, I do think like. Because, like, if your whole life, you're, like, a star, you're a star, you're a star, you're a star, you're a star. Mm-hmm. And then, all of a sudden, your fame kind of, like, dissipates. Like, of course you're gonna, like, act out.
Yeah.
And I think Britney, because she's always kind of been, I think we need, as, like, a people, to, like, keep her famous. Because, like, if all of a sudden she's not famous, like, imagine what she'd do.
Yeah, I feel like she'll always be the type of person who needs a huge, 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 like, following and, like, support group. She'll always need fans to be like, we love you, we stan you, because her family for fucking sure is not doing it.
Well, like, you know? that was the whole thing that pushed that, that podcast.
Free Britney or
the Free Britney thing. Was because when she was like put into like that facility and then even after she was taken out of the facility, like the one thing that she was literally going to court for was she was like, I want to have an iPhone.
Yeah. She went to court for that.
She has $150 million. Mm-hmm. Is probably one of the most famous people in the entire world. And she's not allowed to have an iPhone.
iPhone. Yeah.
And like here's my thing with the whole like her getting committed that last time, yada, yada, yada. I call it fucking bullshit, okay?
Interesting.
Listen, you can't be doing a show four nights a week in Las Vegas and rehearsing a brand new show and just releasing a fucking album and be like in a state of mind. You know what I mean? Like, yes, there's probably some mental health issues like going on for sure, but not to the level of somebody being committed. Like, how are you going on stage in front of 5,000 people tonight and performing your fucking ass off? And then they're like, the next day, no. She wanted an iPhone, so you got to be committed. Like,
isn't that so insane?
I just don't understand, like, why, like, won't they let
She's a cash cow. For the people in her family and her lawyers and her managers who are still making money off of her, if she is independent and not, like, doing their, like, ill will for, like, what I'm trying to say is basically, like, they're going to keep making money off of her forever. Yeah. If she has an iPhone, she's going to, like, it means that she's going to be able to like communicate with people. She's going to be able to like get her shit out there.
Do they not want her to like know what's happening in the world?
Like, I think so.
They want to keep her in this bubble. That's so like
free. Well, they want to control. They want to control the narrative of what she is like
and what she's doing. Like
when she was away, they were still running her Instagram account, and that's what like sparked that whole podcast uncovering it because like the captions were like they're like we can do a wild caption like Britney Spears. It's like actually you can't. You were
people caught on.
Yeah, like yeah.
But what I'm saying is that if she constantly isn't being monitored and if she has the freedom to just have an iPhone, she's obviously going to spill her tea and the shit that she's going through mentally because she's done it before in the past, except at that time we didn't have Instagram, we didn't have Twitter. She was just doing it straight to people who are evil and to the paparazzi. Yeah. So I think like it seems like such a stupid thing to be like, it's dangerous to have, for her to have an iPhone, but to them it is because that means they can't control her
anymore. Well, I like remember when she did the Instagram story where she was talking about being skinny as a needle.
Yes.
Oh my god. So,
first, like my favorite phrase of all time is
being skinny as a needle.
But in it, she's like on this whole rant about the way she looks in pictures and the way she's being portrayed. And I was like, there's no way that she is able to watch television of any kind because then she would have heard the concept of fake news already. Like the way she's explaining it, I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah. She's come on the concept of fake news by herself.
Yeah. I truly do get confused. You know when she started posting these videos, I think it happened like 2016, 2015, when this is when the meme was really popular at least. She would post these videos of her having fashion shows.
Yeah.
In her like living room and singing and like sped up versions of popular songs. Her little walk. And I think truly those are maybe the only types of things she's allowed to do. Like maybe
I don't think she's allowed to watch TV and she's not allowed to
not allowed to. So she makes like she has fun by doing runway shows and like
oh my god.
Like her little dance video, like have you seen the video of her doing those little pirouettes on her balcony?
Yeah.
You want to know the most beautiful thing I've ever seen? It's more beautiful than like natural migration patterns or like baby like turtles being born. It's Britney Spears at the end of her little pirouettes. She does this little jump in the air where she has her arms out like Superman, and she like jumps and her feet maybe go off like a centimeter off the ground, but you cannot tell me that she was flying because she in that moment like soaring, like it's just like you. There's still this kind of like you see
childlike
a joie de vivre in her, like that's still there, but like it just sucks that she's trapped.
And well, then I think it's even further, like it's gone farther than we like will ever know. Like her son just said, like her son is now living with both of her kids are living with Kevin Federline now, and they're like 12.
Oh my god, 12,
13.
Yeah.
So her son though went on like live, her oldest son, and was like talking, and like TMZ reported on it, and he was saying like, oh yeah, like I don't live with my mom anymore because my granddad's an asshole. Like there was like a big spat like a few months ago where he hit one of the kids and
oh
then,
my
like,
god with,
K-Fed. But he said the Jaden said in the live, he was like one day I remember going to the kitchen and being like, oh mom, like why aren't you like doing your show or like doing music or whatever. And she turned to him at a guest and said like, oh, I don't know if I'm allowed to ever do that again. And I don't know if I want to. And then he said to her, why? You make bank doing that stupid stuff.
Oh my God.
Why?
You make bank doing that stupid stuff. This fucking kid.
Yeah. It's not stupid.
Oh, that makes me so sad, though.
You know what I think? Because you mentioned, Tommy mentioned that Britney's kids. I think we're only ever going to know the truth until they become like 18 to 20 to 25.
I agree.
And they can finally like articulate their experiences in a way where we're like, listen, I guess, because they're adults.
They become the greatest comedians of our time.
They look like twins.
They do look like twins.
Isn't one of them like super gay?
Really?
What?
Well, I mean, both of their names are super gay. They're Jaden and Sean Preston. So
Sean Preston is so gay.
One of the kids looks like a young gay boy.
Well, they both look the exact same. Like they both look like little tiny, soon to be twinks.
I'm crying.
Twinks in the making. Every gay child is just a twink in the making.
Oh my god. We all get to touch.
We should start.
We get to touch the philosopher's stone at least for a second. and then it goes away. For you some know, of I us, was, it goes away quicker than others.
You know, you really did float. You really did float close to that ceiling there, Tom, because I was convinced you're going to say something else. I was like, "How's he going to end this?"
No, truly, like we all, because some of us, and a lot of, I really want to get the word out here. Like, if you're a young gay twink listening, you might not even know you're a twink until you're not anymore.
I'm sorry, this is really funny.
I didn't, like, I missed my time.
You, because like I look back and I'm like, oh, this is when I was a twink. I can pinpoint the exact time I was a twink, but then I grew chest, but then I got chest hair and I became an otter.
Yeah.
Aww. Okay, so Tom, did you know, you know what, you don't have to describe if you don't want to. I just wanted, I thought it'd be funny if you could like explain what you were like in high school, because it's very it's actually beautiful.
In high school so okay, well I mean, so in grade 12, which is 10 years ago now for me,
you're aging yourself.
I'm aging myself But I was, yeah, I don't even know how to explain it. Cause like, I was like super gay, but not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I was really, it was really funny because like my friend used to get, like he was gay. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Like there's no
like
hiding.
Real gay, gay, gay. Yeah.
Like gay as it comes. Mm-hmm. And like, nobody would say anything to him, but like, if I was like, I'm gonna walk, people would be like, fag!
Oh my god.
No.
But in the same breath, like, it was very odd. I had a very odd, especially my last year of high school, because, like, I was student council president, and, like...
Oh, I love that for you.
Like, all of that, like, all that stuff that you could imagine happening. But then in the same,
prom
in the
queen. Same,
prom queen. Like, dating women and, like, sleeping with that gay friend, you know? Like, while we were doing the musical.
Wow. Oh my god.
Wait, so you had girlfriends in high school?
I had girlfriends all the way up to my first year of university.
I'm obsessed with that. I only ever had a girlfriend in grade 8.
Oh my god.
Because then I came out in grade 9.
Can you please describe this, Ben?
Oh my god, so my girlfriend, okay. It's actually so funny because just like, because the person she turned into is just very funny to me. Mm. I won't drag her. But so basically like in middle school, I knew I was gay since like grade 6. And then I was like, and I knew I couldn't come out of middle school. That just was never in the cards for me because they were homophobic. And I was I just got to pretend. But my biggest, I'm like, oh my god, I wonder, well, Tom, it seems like you were quite the ladies' man. I wonder if Aiden can identify, but like, I was truly paralyzed with shock being like, what if like a girl asked me out? Like, I was so scared. Mm. I was like, well, you'll have to say yes to keep up the ruse.
Oh
and,
my god.
And then that fateful day happened, and this girl asked me out, and I said yes. And the dates we'd go on, or people would go on in middle school, was you go to either the corner store pizza variety, and you get pizza, or you'd either go to the other corner store, and you get ramen, where they pour the hot water.
Why are you yelling?
Screaming at us. That is choking us.
You're not listening, and you need to be taking notes.
I have Aiden chokehold as we speak, and where you get ramen, and we did a couple of those, and like, so basically, it was kind of like, it wasn't drama, but it was definitely news that we were dating, because we were both like, I was obviously a big personality in middle school. People who knew I was, people know who she was, because she was a chanteuse. She was singing in all the school concerts and stuff, and I was in the musicals, so we're kind of...
You're Kirsten LeBlanc.
Exactly, you took things right around, and it was very that day. But I remember like being, and we've dated for maybe 3 weeks, and I remember being like, well, that's enough for me, like I've done my bit, people think I'm straight, we've logged in our hours, time for me to clock out. And and then I remember talking to my like a mutual friend, my friend River, and I was like, and this was the way at the time, we stand over, I was like, River, you have to break up with this person for me, like I can't do it.
Oh my god.
So we were hanging out, and then my friend River, and River listens to the podcast, so I'm happy to shout them out. And River broke up with this person for me. And then
this story has been top to bottom so gay.
Like, you're too gay and polite to say no, dated for three exact weeks, and then had someone else break up with your girlfriend.
But your friend named River. Something? Yeah.
Tom, it gets gayer. Guess where this happened, where I got my friend River to break up with this girlfriend.
At Steamworks.
It was on Spa Excess. River to break up. It was at River's mom's novella signing. She wrote a novella, and it was her signing. It was at Globe Bistro on Bloor and Danforth, SoCap, and it was the upstairs space, because that's where they had the reception. She did a reading. It's called Made Up of Arias. She's an Italian woman, and it's called Made Up of Arias, and it's a little novella about her growing up as an Italian girl in Hamilton. And it was her signing, and we were in the back area, and I was like, River, enough's enough. River, pull the plug, and I'm grateful to River, because who knows, I could have been married to this girl.
I'm sorry, this is hilarious. This is the gayest thing ever. A novella?
Yeah. Like, a novella.
A novella. That's really so funny. I mean, I was very... Yeah, I mean, I don't know what me being out in high school would have looked like. I've said before, if I had stayed in Calgary, mm-hmm. like, because I moved back to New Brunswick when I was in grade 9, mm-hmm. but because, like, I was seeing a guy when I was in Calgary, like, the first guy I had ever, like, you know, wow, wow. He was dating my best friend Joey, a girl named Joey, and then he and I were
confusing.
We were hanging out after Joey went home. but I think if I had stayed in Calgary, I probably would have come out the next year. Okay. But because I moved to New Brunswick and I had to go into the woods, I think I regretted.
Into the woods.
But then I was still like banging out this guy.
Mm. Whoa! Did you have any BFs in New Brunswick?
I had a few. Well, I mean, because that's where I went to university. So there was a weird period in my first year of university where I was seeing this girl, the last girl that I ever saw. And I am blind to them now. I am blind.
Tom actually has tape over Abba's square on the laptop.
No.
I'm sorry. This reminds me of that viral guy, that church guy that's like, I don't like women.
I don't. But there was this weird time where I was like living in residence. In my first year of university, which also I was 17 when I went to university, so I'm a child. Oh, God.
Yeah, literally.
And I didn't turn 18 until February, so halfway through my first year of university. So, but there was this weird, moment where I was living on the fourth floor of my residence, and my girlfriend lived on the third floor. So I would go down to the third floor, spend time with her, and then I would go to the opposite end, go down the fire escape, down to the basement, and sleep with my first boyfriend that I had.
I'm sorry, this is so incredibly gay and insane.
The drama and the theatrics of it all.
Being gay is literally espionage.
It's so much.
Honestly, straight people have no idea. And the thing is, this is why we're the resilient divas we are today, is because we know.
We know that everyone in the residence is going to see you unless you go down that fire escape that's on the right that nobody goes
that
down.
That is so funny.
That is so funny.
I'm picturing you with like a grappling hook and like zooming up to like the top of the building.
But why is being a gay man so hard? Like, why is there, you know what? No wonder you wanted to be a spy, Ben. You were going
I wanted to be a spy.
Yes, Tom, I want to be a spy.
I wanted to be a spy when I was a kid.
Oh, who didn't? Gay people, honestly, I think it's one thing we are good at as a community.
Yeah.
Well,
the amount of lurking we have to do to figure
we
out
we have all
gay.
Of the gossip. We have all the best disguises, the best complexions. Mm-hmm. And we're going to find us right here.
Well, also, like, I feel like queer people, like, know, or, like, rather, like, no, we're just, like, it's instilled in us that we have to, like, keep our cards close to our chest.
Yeah.
And it's very much, like, a spot, like, I feel like lots of, like, earnest straight people are just very free and willing to, like, give up their info or, like, their deets. But it's, like, there's some, like, mystique and, like, intrigue when it comes.
For sure. And, like, I've always wanted to keep that mystique. And I was actually so mad at that guy, Marcel, because...
Marcel!
Yeah, I'm calling him out right now. We were doing this. I finally like broke up with the girl that I was seeing, and like we were like seeing each other, whatever.
Yeah.
and we were doing this musical in university together.
She didn't know you were gay? I'm sorry. Anyways.
Well, I mean, listen, I played the lead all the time, you know?
Were you Acadia? Are you an Acadia girl?
No, I don't speak French.
Oh, tea. Gotcha.
Yeah, but I went to university right around like where a lot of Acadian people are from. I went to Mount Allison, which is called Mount Gay.
It's true.
It is. But so I remember being in this play, and we were like, everything's going well, and then I was just like, I was like one of my first boyfriend, and you know how first boyfriends are. They're either like, don't give a shit about you, or like, really possessive, and yeah. He was really possessive, and I was like, you can't be possessive with me, like, sorry. No. I'm too bad of a bitch, like, it's not yeah, gonna happen.
Someone trying to like pin you down, Tom,
yeah,
so
it's almost it's like audacious, it's a lot, like
it's disrespectful is what yeah. it is. And, but so anyways, I remember like being like kind of turned off with him, and then I was like, you know what? I'm gonna break up with this motherfucker. So I broke up with him like during the show to be a dramatic little bitch. And
oh, so, that is so, was it like during the, like during
the actual,
like, it was backstage. Like we had a Friday show, I broke up with him on Saturday, and then we had a matinee and a show that night.
Bitch, love, the tension.
That yeah, it was so very funny. Tense. And then we went to the cast party that was like in someone's garage, but the way to get into it was like you had to go into the garage and then go up these stairs, and there was only one way to go. And he like corners me down at the bottom of the stairs and starts like yelling at me and being like trying to like get back together with me and all this stuff. And,
by
like,
yelling
was,
at you?
Yeah.
By
and yelling. I was so pissed off because I was like, you know, I want to keep my cards close to my chest. Mm-hmm. And everyone that was going to this party had to walk past us fighting.
Oh my God.
That's actually
abusive. That actually is. Oh my really God. He outed you, basically.
That is so not cool.
Oh, that's disgusting.
But honestly, whatever. He's a famous opera singer now, so suffice to say.
I was going to say, well, where is he now anyway? But
he's performing at the COC, honey. Oh,
yes, he is. So, yeah. Like, very good. Actually, an amazing singer.
That's
an
insane.
Amazing singer, an amazing yeller, it sounds like. You know what you should have done, Tom? You know what you should have? You should have looked for the nearest fire escape and just zooped out.
Like a spy.
Off to see my girlfriend.
That is so, I hate that man for doing that to you.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what? We all have shitty men in our life at one point.
Honey, he may be performing at the COC, but I could tell you he's not going to be getting any COC from you. Anytime soon.
Okay.
I'm Samantha from Ben,
was that a commercial?
That was a commercial for the COC.
That was beautiful.
Oh my God.
I know.
Oh my God.
This bitch said, I know. I love.
Mm-hmm, but Tom, you need to tell us right now your favorite Britney music video.
Yes.
And that's actually what has to happen.
Okay, favorite, that's hard.
There are really way too many.
Truly. You can do your top three.
I'm gonna give you top three. I mean, obviously, and these aren't in order because I always just like say the first one that comes to mind and then I'll remember other ones that I like. Yeah. But for sure, Toxic.
Oh, 100%. Absolutely. Yes.
Toxic.
Mm-hmm. One of the best.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Toxic. I would say Circus as well.
Circus is a good one.
Like that like peach diamond dress she's in with the short curly bob like this with the sparks coming over her.
She looks it's, like, so good iconic. Like that. She looks good in that like vintage like aesthetic.
Yes.
Yeah.
If You Seek Amy is a great music video.
I don't know this one.
One of her most controversial songs, it got banned from the radio.
Yeah.
No. Oh.
All of the boys and all of the girls.
Yes.
Banging to If You Seek Amy.
So good. Oh.
Makes zero sense.
Right.
And I also really like the Sometimes music video.
Okay.
Like throw it back.
I think I really, really, really like the Break the Ice video because it's anime. Yes. Like the way it's stylized made her look like really cool. It felt like mm-hmm. she could have gone into like a cool rebirth era, but then it never happened after that video. Yeah. Break the Ice is yeah. really good. I will always like Slave for You just because the choreography is really cool.
Oh yeah,
that's very like cool. That's like the Britney. I feel like if my brain like reads it's that wet. And like I, only had one yes. image of Britney, it's that
one. Yeah. Yes, yeah. I love that one. And then the last one I'd say is probably, honestly, Gimme More. It's so bad.
Gimme More was almost on my list, but yes. I
love Gimme More.
It's so bad. That song. Good. It's an aesthetic in and of itself. It's like, it's
just, that brown hair with that yes. fedora. That
yes.
Like the fedora is holding the wig on.
Yeah.
Like,
did Kesha?
He's bald Kesha? During that.
Oh yeah. My God.
When they filmed that, she's 100% bald. So she's
oh my God. Wigs. That's yeah. true. Okay. But did Kesha come out after this?
Yes.
Okay. I feel like Britney definitely birthed a new era of just like trashy white girls.
Yes.
Well, going back to Blackout changed the game for how pop music was approached for a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
If you think about like all of like the people that came right after Blackout, because Blackout yeah. was 2007, 2008. So we had Kesha mm-hmm. coming, we had fucking like, Lady Gaga coming.
Natalia like, Kills, like girls
yeah.
like that.
It was like, yeah. it was like this like dubsteppy mm-hmm. pop.
Yeah.
Essentially.
And I think like it's developed more so into girls like Charlie XCX and like yeah. her crew. Well, yeah, yeah.
I think I'm not yeah, she did start yeah. British until like yesterday.
I yeah. watched a video of her. It was on that She's messy off. Thread. That thread of yeah. people doing that doing okay. messy things.
What's the messy thing she did hanging out with do? That bitch Iggy Azalea?
Was it was not that.
Iggy too biggy to be distressing.
It was not that. Tom and I do that to each other all the time. It was not that. Oh, it was God. Charlie XCX at a concert or a festival, and she was singing I Love It, which is iconically by Icona Pop.
Yeah,
she's yeah. singing a love cover it. Of it. The audience is so dead. Literally, some people are standing there like this with their fingers, with their arms crossed. And at one point, she stops singing and she goes, "Aren't you loving it? Do you guys know this song? It's I Love It." And then just dances. It's so embarrassing. It's so embarrassing.
Oh my God.
I need to watch that video immediately. That's
I'm going to send you the thread if I find it.
Please send me that.
Yeah, I need that.
I love that song. I Don't Care. I love it so mm-hmm. much. And every time it comes back into like my life in any sort of way, I'm like,
yeah.
I forgot that this was like for a while the only song that existed on the airwaves.
It was so good. It felt so fresh and new, but really it was very derivative of just like it was like a mixture of 80s like synth pop and mm-hmm. Britney Spears two, trashiness.
Like, those yes. two women are from like Sweden or something.
Yeah. They are.
Yeah. Icona Pop, I love that. And they're have really they cool. done anything since?
Nope. Don't and they don't me. Have to.
I don't I don't want to know.
They're done.
I'm not going to listen to it.
They cash that check every time.
One and it done.
Is. Yeah.
One
I love that.
Done. I stand that.
Oh my God.
So
we are close to not having any more Britney music though, potentially, because what? She only has one more record left and then she's done her 10 album deal with RCA.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, Britney.
So okay. she legally has to make one more album or they will sue her for millions.
Or they'll sue her. $1. Oh my God.
So I know we're going to at least get one more. I don't know when it's going to happen, but she could potentially be done after that.
And you know what? Better for her. What I prefer for Britney, I don't want her to put out any more music. I think she's truly done there. I don't even think I want her to do a tour, but I don't. I want her to have a nice reality series where it's not her describing her messy, messy life, but her being like, I'm a mom and, you know, I did have a bad past, but here I am maybe renovating a house or here I am teaching.
Oh my God, yeah.
Like, I just want her to make that wholesome, yeah.
She needs to go to the, she needs to go back to the country.
You know what? Her show would be, her show would be a painting show. She's the new Bob Ross.
It would be a painting show.
Yes, I would, that's actually.
I would like to see.
She would be a perfect Bob Ross.
Her go back to Louisiana, start a dance school, and then have a dance mom show.
Oh my God.
Yes. Yes.
Whoa.
Yes.
Where they all just do Britney choreo?
Yeah. Like every week they have a different video and she's like, okay, we're going to do this. But I mean, that would get derivative because it's all of her dances are the exact same.
Exact same stuff. Yeah.
She skips from one spot to the other spot, does this, and then like goes over. If you look at her below her waist, specifically in the last 4 years, does not move.
Doesn't move at all. Does not move at all, and it's so funny.
It's all arms. And she does like weird things. Like she'll get picked up and then like do like, I know they can't see this on the podcast, but like do like weird hands. Where yeah. She'll just, like...
Yeah. It's so weird. I don't know. I've always thought her dancing is not good.
Tom looks like he's casting a spell.
That's but fair.
For the listeners.
You know what? I think she's always been bad at dancing. I don't think, yes. She has cheerleader moves. She dances like a cheerleader.
Yeah, I have to agree.
I disagree.
I think she's good at memorizing choreo, but I would not call her a dancer.
She's not a dancer.
Okay, but then I have to ask you, other than Beyonce, okay, wait, now there are three that come to mind. Other than like Beyonce, Gaga, and J-Lo, who dances harder than Britney?
Normani.
Ooh. Normani?
Normani goes off. She's a dancer. Let's
see. Sure, yeah. I guess. I'll give Normani that. Shakira.
Yeah. But I think Britney's dancing is iconic in that. It's definitely iconic. It's iconic because it's like she almost like trademarked that. Like that is her move. When I think of like white girl dancing, I think of Britney.
And when you think of like 2001 to 2004, what it was like the big lip syncing controversies around her, and she was like, I have to lip sync because I dance so hard. And then Beyonce was like, let me get in there.
Like, let me show you how it's done.
Yeah. Oh
my God. But truly, like, I think that she, I don't know. I just think she's had, like, a really interesting life in that she could have been one of those pop girls who reach their peak and then don't necessarily, like, fall off, but, like, reach their peak and become something in this new era where there's so much more for you to do. Like, you can have a reality show. You can have a makeup line. You can truly do anything once you've already reached that
level. That's the thing we're gonna see after this last album.
Last album,
is she gonna go Madonna styles and just keep shoving it down our throats until we can't handle it?
Madonna needs to
And I can tell you, I don't think that's gonna happen anyways because she's already kind of like slowed. Like if you think about it, between 1998, I think is when her first album came out, and 2008, she released 6 albums, since then she's released 4.
That's true.
Wow.
But also, that's nuts. She has 9 studio albums.
That's too many. Well, like
that's too many. And I don't
your deal. And what a dream that would be at the beginning. And then you get to like 5 or 6, and you're like, oh my.
Nobody, like, this is enough. Nobody should have signed that deal. Nobody would do that deal. Think of even like the only person I can think of that would be able to have a music catalog large enough to do something like that would be somebody like Beyonce or Gaga, and they would never sign a deal like that.
I agree.
That's poor management from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. No, it's true. Like
that's actually like insane that they even like, it's like you're in that, like that 10 albums, like who even has that much faith in a person?
Yeah.
That they'd even all be, that, you know what I mean? Like, what about Britney when she signed that contract where they're like, oh, she's going to crank out 10 at least.
It's so that they always own her. So like, she's never going to go to any other label and be like, let me try this one and let me try this one. Like, they'll always be able to get something from her.
Yeah. Well, and that's just a wild number to me. Like, really, like, even if it had been a 5-album deal, that would have gotten us all the way to blackout.
Yeah. We would have gotten a lot. Like, I don't know. I think that, like, she's unfortunately just, like, another example of that age-old, like, Hollywood story that happens to so many young girls. She's just the most famous of them. But this happens all the time.
No, it does. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think it's sad because it happens all the time. And it's happening to somebody who's extremely famous and we still can't do anything about it. Like she can't get any help in any way. Imagine what's happening to girls who are not as famous as her.
Well, like and then also just like look at the sexism of it all. Like Justin Bieber and like him peeing in a bucket. Everyone was we have to help him. He needs help right now. Oh my God, we must save this young boy. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh my God, remember when they would be like, hey, Britney, let me rip open your shirt and then push you out on stage. Bye.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
No.
Like, ugh.
Like, she beat a car up with an umbrella. Like, if that's not a cry for help, like.
What is? Like, truly, truly, truly scary shit. Truly, truly.
And I also don't even know what this last album would even potentially sound like.
Yes. See, this is the thing, Tom. Ever since, like, Circus, I have not been able to tell what her albums are going to sound like. Like, I don't think
Well, because then Brittany Jean, we like when lead single came out, which was Work Bitch, I was like, okay, here we go.
I was like, what? Like,
it's going to get nuts. And then it was like, oh, what? Like, how did this depart like that?
It was weird.
She needs to stop working with Will.i.am. I mean,
Absolutely. We need to find Timbaland, knock on his door, and be like, sis, you need to get back into the stew. Get back into the stew. Because
I love Timbaland.
Will.i.am, he's amazing. Timbaland is one of our best producers ever. But, like, I think that, like, working with Will.i.am is so dumb because whatever he does only works specifically for the Black Eyed Peas, and it only works for Black Eyed Peas because we expect nonsense from them.
Yeah. I wanna go for
Will.i.am wants every song to be I'm a B, and it's like, I'm a B, but only for Black Eyed Peas.
Like, right?
Imagine anybody else... Imagine anybody else doing that song. So, like, let's say Will.i.am was just a songwriter and he was just selling that song out. And you know what? Like, fucking Katy Perry picks it up. And, like, she's like, I'm gonna be rocking like this. What?
Like, she says what? Like a grandmother that's lost? Like, what?
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
David.
We are approaching our end.
Yes.
I must say, the boy who canonized Free Britney does gay porn now.
Oh my God.
Wait. Yes.
Leave Britney alone.
Leave
Britney alone and subscribe to my OnlyFans.
Yeah.
It's a mantra he lives by now.
I can't believe that. Are you saying Chris Crocker?
Yeah.
Chris Crocker.
Oh my God.
That's insane.
I remember watching him on YouTube.
On Pornhub.
Oh my God, I'm going to go find it. I remember watching him on YouTube and being like, this guy's an idiot. And then like two years later being like, everyone should leave her the fuck alone.
Yeah.
That's true.
Hey.
It's
true.
No, I remember watching it. I used to watch so many of those videos.
Yes, true.
They were enthralling.
Well, that was like first YouTube video for me. Like one of the first, like that... Shoes and
oh my gosh,
shoes.
Okay, do you want to know something so bitchy? And I've actually talked about this family so much on the podcast, and I'm happy to do it again. But the man who plays Murdoch Mysteries, his daughter, I remember I was like, oh my God, have you guys like seen Shoes? Like, and then she in front of everyone was like, yeah, everybody's seen Shoes, and acted like I was a psycho.
Ben, you still remember that?
Yeah, I've never forgotten.
That's rude.
It's rude.
Shoes. If
someone comes up to you and says, have you seen that video? And if you've seen it, you know what you say? You say, yes, I have seen it. Let's watch it together.
Yes.
I'm dying.
Let's
all sit down and everyone shut up at this party. We're going to Chromecast some shit.
Like, everybody shut up at this party.
Shoes.
I said.
Oh my God. I loved Kelly.
Kelly, was that the name of the person that made that? Oh God, there was another one that she did. It was Shoes, and then what was the
Let
other
me borrow that top.
Let me borrow that top. Yeah,
that's such a cute top.
Look at that top.
And also muffins, I think.
Muffins. Text message breakup.
Yeah. Yes, I loved her. Tourette's guy, I watched a lot of, which is so problematic now. If you think
But YouTube,
I loved Tourette's guy.
There was a phase of YouTube and just like Dr. Phil culture in general where people were obsessed with people with Tourette's.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
People people found out about that syndrome and
we're like, let's not let go of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But
Tourette's guy was wild.
I watched a lot of compilations of people falling and like fucking up. I remember that being a huge part of YouTube. Yeah. YouTube was kind of a dark, tasteless hole.
I don't know. For me, like, when I started YouTube, like, I was kind of just, like, reading, like, kind of watching, like, Bell Hooks seminars and just kind of, like...
Wow.
Yeah.
Listeners, please let it be noted that ABBA is crossing her arms.
Just kidding. It was, you know what it was? It was Lego. It was Lego.
What?
So I would play this computer game that was a Star Wars Lego computer game, and then I would watch. There would be these shorts that would play in the computer game, but when you're playing, you like skip through them because you wanted to play. But on YouTube, I would watch those shorts and really catch up.
Oh my gosh!
I need you to know. I need to remind everyone that Ben Ben was the one who said, "We're almost out of time. Let's wind down."
Oh my God.
Kept that in the canon.
Ben is literally insane.
I'm getting so hungry.
I'm getting hungry. This whole time I've been ordering my fried rice.
Tom is nodding.
I want fried rice.
Guys, order fried rice.
Well, thanks for having me. Like, I could talk about Britney Spears all day long. So
yes.
No, Tom, you've done listeners a service today. I love the guest knows like so much.
So much information. It was actually amazing.
Like, I can't. Like, I love knowing more about the artist.
Yeah, I really appreciate that.
I love Brit.
I'm crying. I love you three. Aww, I love you too. Listener, let it be known we're all crying and kissing the camera.
Everybody, follow Tom Hearn on all social media.
Please.
Tom Hearn on Instagram.
Hell yes.
And Skechersons every Sunday on Facebook.
Yeah, Sunday on Facebook and Twitch.
If you want to watch ABBA?
Yes. Me and Tommy Boy.
The iconic film.
Oh, Twitches.
I love that Twitches. Movie.
Oh, I love that movie too.
Twitches or Tommy Boy?
Both.
Twitches.
Both.
The dad from Tommy Boy just died. Anyways, no. Bye, podcast.
Okay, so you've been listening to ABBA.
And you've been listening to Ben. Bye.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.